is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio. We're broadcasting live from beautiful Trout Lake, Washington, otherwise known as UFO and Paranormal Central. There's a few things I want to talk about tonight. We've got some amazing things. I know the energies are just becoming intense right now. A lot of people are either flipping out with these new energies coming in, shifting into the blame and anger and separation game. You know, or they're using them to go within and become the observer and heal. So I would strongly suggest just kind of chilling out, taking a step backwards through these times where these new energies coming in, and just kind of own your feelings and what's going on, and try not to project and blame in these days to come. A lot of these things that I'm talking about right now, I wanted to let people know that we've got the Ultimate Soul Journey is out right now. If people want to pick up the new book, and Reunion with Source and Becoming Gods is still available. And they were back ordered for a little while, but they're back online. And one of the things I want to talk about tonight is the movie, which just was just a phenomenal experience for me. And I feel very blessed to be able to be a part of this movie, is Contact Has Begun, His Story with James Gillen, which is me. And I had some wonderful producers come up here, and we shot some great footage. And before I go too much more, I want to welcome Michael Knight, one of the co-producers of the movie, on the show. Michael, are you with us?
Greetings, James. Yes, I'm here.
Oh, glad to have you on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Always glad to talk with you.
Indeed. We did have a wonderful time. I directed the documentary, and it was, for me, a highlight of the work I've done over the years, in that it was, well, completely off the wall, some people would say, but a beautiful story, a beautiful adventure, really.
Yeah, one thing I noticed, there's kind of a magic or a synchronicity that happened with this movie. And it just blew me away how it all came together and everything just kind of flowed, and even areas where there could have been problems, it just didn't happen.
Yes, one remarkable event, you'll recall that John Savage and Chase Savage and I came up on what we call a research or recce trip, reconnaissance trip, and I was not skeptical so much as cautious about the idea of UFOs doing what you call a power-up over your property. Now, I've been aware of UFOs for many years. I've seen them in various parts of the world. But coming to your place, just to get to know you and to decide whether or not it was worth investing the time and so forth in doing a documentary, I recall that we went outside one night about 10 or 11 o'clock. This was in the summer. And I actually saw, I think, two of these craft come over and do a power-up. It was quite amazing, because you were saying, you know, if you project your consciousness out there, they can telepathically hear what you're saying, and they respond by increasing the light of their craft. So that was quite remarkable, and let's face it, it was a very strong point in your favor.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one thing that's always been in my favor. I tell people, come up and see for yourself. Don't take my word for it. There's a lot of people out there making a lot of claims, and I'm not saying, you know, that they aren't doing what they say they're doing, but, you know, we have the evidence to back it up.
Yes. Here's an anonymous quote that somebody sent me recently, but, you know, people wonder about the existence of life in the universe, and this quote goes a bit like this, you know, extremely intelligent life must exist in the universe, and you can tell because they've never tried to contact us.
Yeah, I would, you know, personally, if I was on a UFO, I would make a left turn, Clyde. You know, I would avoid this planet, considering our leadership and what's going on right now. I would sense the frequencies and go, you know, I think I'll come back and maybe after the changes, you know, or something. Or,
well, you know, since my education in doing the documentary and the interview with you that's in the documentary, I've done a lot of research since then. And it seems to me that the benevolent ones are aware of what's going on, but we've made such a good job of trashing this place that they don't really want to come and haul us out of the pit.
Mm-hmm. I think they're here to help us help ourselves. That's always been their message. You know, they said we're not here to babysit you. We're not here to save you. But we will inspire you to help yourself, and you need to rise to the occasion if you want to work with us.
Yes.
And, you know, people just, I think it's really arrogant of us, too, to come and say, well, tell them to come down here right now, land, step out of their ship, and hand me some physical object, and then I'll believe in them. It's as if they need us, you know.
Yeah, that is terribly arrogant.
Yeah.
Another interesting thing that occurred the morning after, and I just mentioned that we saw a couple of craft power up that night. Well, John Savage and I, we slept out in the yard at on the big field there in the Echinacea fields at your sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a beautiful place with Mount Adams in the background. It was a starry night. And I dozed off about midnight, and there was a triad of stars above me. And I woke up a little while before daylight, and that triad of stars was still there. That's odd.
It should have been gone.
It should have been gone.
Yeah. We've seen just massive triangles coming in here. I actually remember I filmed that one triangle when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
I caught it on film. I got some pretty good footage of that one.
Right.
That came over.
Yeah, I was amazed at the footage that you had on file. You know, over the years you've shot so much of these things that, I mean, that was another reason why we went ahead with the documentary. We had your footage with the time code on it.
Mm-hmm.
That showed when it was shot. You know, 2001, you had this, that, and the other thing, and date and time was there. And I know from, you know, years in the production business that there's no way you could have really gone back and re-time-coded stuff and you know, filmed lights on a piece of string and that sort of rubbish that some people say that footage is.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing about the footage, when you see an object that is, you know, pink in the middle, blue on the outside, and maybe turquoise on the top and bottom, and it's pulsing like a heartbeat with rotating fields of energy around it, that's not a pie pan, you know, that's thrown up in the air. or that's something very phenomenal. And I've had physicists look at that footage, and they said, you know, this is so far beyond anything I can even imagine.
Yeah.
They said there's extremely high electronics involved here.
That's right. And there's certainly no way that could be a satellite or even one of those iridium flares or satellites.
Mm-hmm.
No way it could be you know, a space shuttle or a space station.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of James Todd is who it was. He's the head of OMSI Planetarium.
Mm-hmm.
And so I took this footage, you know, down there, and I had ABC, and they took the footage as well, and they showed it to him. And they said, what do you think this is? And they showed him, you know, some really good footage. And he looked at it and he goes, well, there's nothing to be excited over, you know, this is nothing more than the space shuttle. And I said, well, did you mention the fact that the space shuttle just landed on the mountain and morphed into three different ships and then back to one again and then took off? And it's playing in the background, and you're watching this thing happen while he's saying it's the space shuttle.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the ABC guy, didn't you question him? Like, well, how does the space shuttle land on Mount Adams and morph into three pieces? He didn't even ask him that.
Mm-hmm.
He just went ahead and went to the interview and then put it in the newscast, you know. So,
well, unfortunately, what you're dealing with there is a media mindset. They have
mm-hmm.
a formula for doing stories about the unusual and the uncommon, and that is that they will do the story, but they'll put a tail end on it which sort of minimizes the importance or impact of the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I've observed that in some of the stories that have been done about you. You know,
oh, yeah.
You've had people from the media there, and they'll do a story, but they'll put a tail end on it, which is just sort of not quite derogatory, but it makes light of the situation. And I personally felt that the beautiful thing about working with John Savage and Dreams Come True Enterprises, DCT, is that, you know, he's a totally independent person,
mm-hmm.
totally independent company. And nobody is pulling his strings. And so we were able to come into this, spend time, do the filming, do the editing, without trying to justify anything. We came to the conclusion that what we were seeing was real, what you were saying and had to say was a story worth telling, and hence we went ahead with the production.
You know, it's just amazing. When I first saw the film, even before it was, you know, in its final stages, I didn't even know what to say. I just was just blown away. It was like a lifelong thing that I wanted to do for years and years and years, and the right people just never came together to do it. And I think it was the collective consciousness of all of us involved that we're all on the same page, and the story got told, and it even enhanced the story much better than I could have done it myself, the collective group effort, you might say.
That's true, and it's evidence that if you hold a dream long enough, it'll happen. And, you know, just stay focused on it, and eventually it comes to fruition. But we were also, because of the high-tech world we live in, we were able to pull in some beautiful footage, animations and so forth, and things from the Hubble telescope, and use those to augment the story, to add to the story. And, it's, you know, some of the scientists have done some fantastic work in showing us what's going on out there in this great universe in which we're sort of a small dot. So there's some beautiful footage there as well.
Well, I love what you did, especially when, you know, you're showing the different dimensions and how there's just one dimension that we think is the it, you know. But the one that struck me was the near-death experience, the way you recreated that, going through the tunnel. And then ending up in that golden light. And boy, it was just like, oh, my God, when I watched that, it just was a deja vu type experience.
Yes, I didn't tell you about it at the time, and I won't go into detail about it now. But I actually did have a near-death experience myself. I never quite made it to the light. It was because of that that I understood that you honestly had such an experience. And so Chase Savage, he's just brilliant with his editing, and he's got a special effects program. He was able to recreate that tunnel. And, you know, it's just the way I saw it, but it's obviously very similar to what happened to you.
That's, you know, again, that's what I was saying, is that we're all on the same page in making this movie. And if we weren't, we wouldn't have had the consciousness to pull it off.
You know? You realize there was a time in our lives that we had to just about kill ourselves.
Yeah, to get there.
To have a near-death experience so we could come together 20 years later.
You know, you think about everything that we did in our lives, you know, brought us to that point where we could meet up and do this movie. I often think about that. You know, I wouldn't trade anything in my life that's happened, good, bad, or ugly, or whatever it was, because it all brought me to this point, and I'm glad I have that under my belt.
Yes.
You know, and now I'm really clear on what I don't want. You know, and, you know, I've sure manifested a lot of that.
Yes.
And focusing more on what I do want, and, you know, rather than doing that reactionary mind, I'm moving more into creational mind, you know, creating the world.
I was very taken with your honesty, simplicity, and the fact that you've done so much spiritual work since you had that near-death experience. And it was as a result of that you had the ET contact. I think it took about 10 or 20 years, didn't it, after your near-death experience before they came to see you?
You know, it did. It was about, I've been here about 22 years, and I was here about 10 years before it happened. And I was doing intense work before that, probably since the early 70s. I was very intensely involved, you know, in going to every process-oriented therapy you could think of, and, you know, working with Tibetan lamas and yogis and you name it. But, you know, it took me quite a long time, even after the near-death experience, to get a very strong foundation to where I could actually hang out with these beings, you know, and not go nuts or have all my issues pop up.
Mm-hmm.
you know, there's definitely a frequency that comes with these beings, and you know, people, a lot of people go, well, how come I haven't seen them, you know, and I tell them, I go, probably a good thing you haven't stood in the presence of one of these beings, because you'd probably turn over in your mind. Their frequency alone would just bring everything up for you, and you wouldn't be able to face it.
That's something that helped the documentary immensely, too, was that you had the conference hall just about ready to go for your first conference at the sanctuary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the worst thing a person can do when they're trying to make a film is just have a talking head without
mm-hmm.
without any what you call B-roll or extra footage to cover it. And, you know, you were in the process of finishing off the conference hall there, and you had quite a few speakers that we were able to film and include in the documentary.
Yeah, we've got, I'm trying to remember who's in there. I know Michal's in there, Michal Ledwith.
Yeah, Michal Ledwith.
With What to Bleep.
Yes.
And then we've got Brooks Agnew in there.
Yes.
And Michael Sala, I believe, is in there.
Right.
And Neil Freer.
Neil Freer.
I believe Alfred Wabray is in there too, isn't he?
Yes.
Or is
yes.
he? I've got to go watch the movie again to remember all the... I don't know if there's anybody I missed, or...
I think that covers it pretty good. And again, what they said dovetailed in with
mm-hmm.
the theme of the documentary, and that's about E.T. contact and Earth changes.
They're all like... And just about everybody there were like PhDs, which is amazing.
Except me and you.
Yeah. And then... you know, Michal was a chief advisor to the Pope. You know, he was the bishop,
yeah.
wasn't he? Or?
Monsignor, I believe.
Monsignor?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how that pecking order goes. But,
nor do I. No, I don't know either.
Yeah, I've tried to stay away from from organized religion as much as possible.
Well, you know, your E.T. contacts with Blagie and Malia, we were able to... From the descriptions you gave us and the drawings that you had, we commissioned an artist to give us an artist impression of these people. And you know, they're really quite beautiful, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
For people that are 300 or 400 years old.
You know, what's interesting, when you meet these beings, with me, I have the utmost respect for them, but there's an energy exchange where you just fall in love with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not only exquisitely beautiful in their genetics, their energy as well, and you know, I just don't see how anybody could not love and respect them and want to listen to what they have to say, because they're just such extremely advanced beings. But you know, there are a lot of people that are very fearful. You know, they think they're here to take something, or and I think a lot of the main resistance is from the people that have a lot to hide.
Yeah.
You know, the people have been doing a lot of negative things towards humanity and the Earth, and they don't want to be exposed. And, you know, these beings that are coming in, they have, you know, fuel-less energy technologies. They've got the, you know, they can end disease, poverty. They stand for universal peace, you know, so much for the war industry, you know. So basically, you know, the pharmaceutical boys and the war industry and the oil industry, all these guys definitely do not want these beings to come in and help us in our quantum leap in evolution that we're undergoing right now. But eventually they're going to have to, just because of the way the energies are coming in, and it's our destiny to reunite with the rest of the universe.
I think that's a point that does come across very well through the speakers you had at your conference, Michal and Brooks Agnew. They both talked about the origins of humanity,
mm-hmm.
somewhat different than the biblical versions, and yet there are similarities. They
mm-hmm.
talked about the Elohim, the Nephilim, the gods that came down from above, and the genetic engineering that apparently went on back then, which created Homo sapiens, is it? That's you and me.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting part of the documentary, as far as I'm concerned.
I love what one of the things Michal said. He said, you know, if you were a higher being and came upon the earth and looked at it, you would right away kind of assess that it was a failed experiment, you know?
Yes. Yes, and he also said it's not up to them to come down to our level. It's up to us to to raise our frequency to their level.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're talking about frequencies, that's another beautiful thing that Chase Savage was able to do, was to illustrate the dimensions that you talk about, each dimension having its own frequency. Now, we're at the lowest frequency on the spectrum.
Uh-huh.
And so we can only see within this Hertzian frequency. But those that live in a dimension beyond this frequency, they can see into this one, but we can't see into that one. Unless, apparently, we can raise our personal vibration to reach their level.
Uh-huh. Now, I love... Now, Jay-Z Knight has a movie or a DVD out. I can't remember the name of it. You remember it? UFOs, and it's on my website.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why I can't think of the name of it, but I think it's like UFOs and the Nature of Reality or something like that.
Yes.
But what's amazing, what I love what she said in there, is she talked about the neural net and how we can only see what our brain chooses to see, and that we have billions of bits of information. Bruce Lipton talked about this as well, of information coming through our eyes, and the brain filters out what's usable, you know, what it agrees to, and that's what we see as far as our experience. But we're actually seeing a lot more. We just don't have the neural net to process it.
Yes, the eyes receive information, but the brain filters it.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to only see what we're familiar with. It's a fascinating area of study, because if we begin to understand how the brain works, and I think this is one of Jay-Z Knight's great areas of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
is how the brain works and how we can improve the way we use our own brain and our own mind.
Yeah, it's very empowering once you understand how things are working and how we're constantly fooling ourselves and limiting ourselves as well. You know, concerning the nature of reality and what's out there. You know, I've loved to get this camera. I just saw this camera. It's a pretty spendy camera. I think it's about $6,000 or something. But this camera actually takes pictures in the infrared and ultraviolet.
Yes.
And it takes video as well.
Yes.
And boy, I would just love to have a camera like that you could hook up, and also have the night shot, because we have the night vision here now that you hook up, and it's amazing. You see 10 times more stars, and you see things moving that you'd never see before. I mean, but there's no way of hooking it up to a camera. So that would be one of my dreams, is to get that the night shot, the really good stuff that screws straight into the camera,
mm-hmm.
you know, on a real high resolution camera. And then also get one of these ones that shoots into the ultraviolet and infrared, and we would be seeing so many things here. It would be like fantasy land or something.
It would be remarkable.
You know?
I remember I made a subsequent trip to your place after we'd finished the DVD,
uh-huh.
and one of your visitors, he actually had some night vision binoculars,
uh-huh.
and I had an opportunity to use those, and it was just incredible. It lit the sky up with, you know, 10 billion more stars than you could see with the naked eye. And I seriously did see craft moving up there among the stars above the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't doing power-ups, and I couldn't see them with the naked eye. But with this night vision equipment, I certainly could see them up there.
Yeah, we actually got a pair of those. And we've been using them, and it's just amazing what we've been seeing up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I only wish I could share this, you know, with other people, figure out a way to hook the camera, and it just doesn't work right now.
Right.
But if there's a way that we could get one that would screw into the head of one of these Sony cameras, we could put it up on the site and share some of these things. I mean, we're watching huge triangles up there. We're watching delta shape. Things making right angle turns. We've even seen some exchanges.
Right.
Of I don't know what was going on, but there was energy exchanges between ships, and it could have been anything from firing on each other to transfers of things. I don't know what they were doing up there.
Right.
you know, but, you know, if you, somebody has a war consciousness, they look at it and they go, oh, they're shooting, they're killing each other, and, you know, and, but, you know, the ships keep going and nothing happens to them, so they, you know, I don't know.
And they don't fall out of the space into our backyard either.
Yeah, they don't explode or anything else, and they just keep going, so it may be something, it may be some kind of a transfer going on.
That DVD that you've got for sale on your site is actually Jay-Z Knight on UFOs.
Oh, okay.
Understanding Our Brain's Connection to Alien Life.
Oh, okay, great, thanks.
Okay, and it's on your website under eseti.org/books.
Yeah, we've had computer problems here. I'm having trouble getting mine going again. We had, I lost the studio. I put in this really nice studio and everything down, you know, in the other building, the conference building.
Right.
And we lost all of our, we have power out there, but all the phone lines and the internet going out there went down with this storm that we're undergoing.
Yeah.
You know, which brings us into, you know, the information in the video. It also covers earth changes and a lot of things coming up, you know, that are coming up in our next future between now and 2012.
Well, that's something which, you know, life can change overnight, so to speak, depending where we put our focus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we had the premiere showing at your conference hall there last July, was it?
Mm-hmm.
I rather spontaneously decided that I'd like to follow through on some of the things you've mentioned in the DVD, in particular earth changes, because the evidence is more and more clear that we are in a time of dramatic changes. And I'm not trying to, you know, overstate the case, but it's just very clear. So I went ahead and started a website on which I'm selling the DVD, but also a newsletter called Earth Change Report.
Mm-hmm.
And that's led me into some remarkable areas of research. And it all stems from what, well, not totally from what you said in the DVD, because I have been looking at this area for quite a period of time. But there are a lot of people in the world suddenly becoming aware that things aren't as they should be in terms of climate.
You know, up here right now, this is the most snow. I mean, I've been here 22 years. This is the most snow I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have anywhere to put it anymore. And, you know, the conference building, those walls are 12 foot tall on those conference buildings.
Yeah.
You know, the sides are totally covered.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the drift, I mean, the snow is coming off the roof of the building and going down, but it's up to 12 feet tall right now. And we've got about, you know, 4 to 5 feet straight across. You know, the fence posts are gone.
Wow.
And, you know, this just is unheard of, and it's not even halfway through winter.
Mm-hmm. In my latest newsletter, just in the last couple of weeks in Pakistan, they had 7 feet of snow in 2 days.
Wow.
In one area.
Now, do you think some of this is being done with, I know they're doing the chemtrails and the weather modification and HAARP and things like that. I'm beginning to wonder when I see these things if it's not a direct result from a lot of the manipulation going on.
Well, there's many reasons behind what's going on here. And there's many things we could speculate about. But the evidence is that it's happening. Whatever's causing it, like there's Planet X, for example, some people call it, which apparently is heading in towards us from way down below the Antarctic in the southern hemisphere. So it can't be seen from here at this stage, but it's on its way. And that is apparently perturbing our entire solar system and creating, just different behavior on the planet itself, on this planet.
And well, that's creating, you know, an increase. I guess this solar cycle 24 we're going through is just going to be phenomenal. That's going to, I'm sure the sun is reacting to this as well.
Yes. NASA has just recently put out a press release about a sunspot or a bit of activity on the sun which they consider to be the beginning of what they call solar maximum or solar cycle 24. And in the DVD, you know, we made the rather bold statement that we could expect, here we are, major Earth changes by 2010. And that was a reference to the solar cycle 24 that we're just getting into.
Mm-hmm.
When those sunspots or solar storms happen, they just send out a blast of radio waves and light waves and photons, which can reach the Earth in no time flat. It's just one of those things, you know, we're familiar with the earthquake and the tsunami that hit Asia a couple of years ago. There was no warning. There was an earthquake, a tsunami, and 250,000 people lost their lives. The sun, apparently, is going to do something similar, but on a much bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
It's a different sort of event, but NASA was saying that the last big solar storm occurred back in about 1958, and the space age hadn't started yet. We didn't have cell phones yet. We didn't have GPS systems in our aircraft at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Fly-by-wire hadn't really been invented. I think the Concorde that the British and French built, that was the first fly-by-wire plane there was. Although, you know, aside from probably Black Ops somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2006, December 2006, there was a solar coronal mass ejection or and that affected landing systems on, for airplanes around the, on the daylight side of the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, NASA's concerned about the possibility of something similar, but on a bigger scale, happening in 2010. And my concern is that people who want to know about this will get to know about this. I have a skill as a researcher. I can look up this information and incorporate it into my newsletter. And I just hope that, you know, those who want the information can get themselves aware and prepared before these things get a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's say that we took a direct hit from a coronal mass ejection. You know, in Canada, they had a kind of a glancing blow, and it took down their grid system.
Mm-hmm.
But if we took a direct hit, what do you think the ramifications of that would be?
Well, it would, from the research I've done, apparently it could do everything from fry your computers, stop your motor cars, take down all the grid systems, the electrical grid systems. Everything that relies on computerized technology would quit for a period of time. I mean, we're talking everything.
Now, it would, a lot of things would actually, they would lose chips and it would fry, you know, parts of the systems. And so it would take quite a while to get everything back online again.
It would indeed.
That would mean the banks are closed, the ATMs, you can't get to them, the whole network, you know, your plastic card wouldn't be functional.
Right.
You know, you couldn't pump gas. You know, it just goes on and on and on. You know,
right.
You wouldn't have heat, you wouldn't have phones, you wouldn't have anything, basically. It'd be back to horse and buggy.
And that could be a global event, depending which side of the Earth is facing the sun at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have a domino effect. But you know, one thing I'm cautious about, or what I try to do, is get common sense into this. You know, how big of an event is a global event? For example, I'm over here in Washington State, and an earthquake happens in the southern hemisphere. I don't even notice it.
Mm-hmm.
But if a local storm happens and the flood takes out the bridge, I'm aware of that. Or the power goes out overnight, I'm aware of that. Or if the well stops pumping or runs dry,
mm-hmm.
I'm aware of that. So if a person is prepared for those small localized events, prepared in advance, then they can make it through the bigger ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's just common sense. You know, we should all just go down and buy a couple bags of oats, a couple bags of rice and beans, you know, throw them in some containers and just not worry about it. You know, store some other food if you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then you don't have to act out of fear. And you're also prepared, you know, in case something happens. At least you can take care of yourself for a little while.
Yes.
But to me, that's just base common sense. You know, a little heads up, we're having a major meltdown here. Our river right now, it just sounds like a freight train, the White Salmon River. You know, and that's all coming down towards your area. And I know last time this event happened, I-5 was under about 10 or 11 feet of water. I think, wasn't it 25 miles of I-5 went underwater?
Oh, yes. Yeah, just a few weeks ago, 25 miles of the I-5. Unfortunately, I'm up in the mountains, you know, away
yeah.
from there. We weren't affected, but...
that's good.
Huge amount of damage.
Yeah.
I heard somebody asking if you were going to take questions and calls.
Yeah, we'll probably be taking calls towards the last part of the show.
Okay.
But, you know, the other thing I wanted to ask you about was, we've got, you know, these solar events coming. There's going to be definitely an increase. That's already happening right now in earthquake and volcanic activity. There's more moisture in the air than ever, and... you know, this last storm that just went through here, its wings were touching on Mexico and Canada. I mean, that's a massive storm going through. So we're in it right now. I mean, we're in the changes. It's undeniable. We're moving into them, and I think they're going to escalate. And, you know, what I'd like to get into is Planet X. What do you think is going to happen with Planet X, and when do you think that's going to start happening?
This is an area, I'll be quite straight with you, where I don't consider myself to be very knowledgeable about it,
mm-hmm.
personally. I've done some recent research on this, but I was fortunate, after I started my website, to get in touch with a guy by the name of Marshall Masters.
Mm-hmm.
And he and a couple of colleagues have co-authored a book called Planet X Forecast and 2012 Survival Guide. And it's a very well put together book. It shows you in graphics and in good artwork how this planet, they call it a brown dwarf,
mm-hmm.
how it does a tremendously long elliptical orbit. And it takes about 3,600 years, and apparently it's on its way back here. And they talk about the fact that as it approaches, everything begins to sort of become perturbed in our solar system. And when it finally gets here, there are going to be some really, really serious movements, so
mm-hmm.
to speak.
You know, I've researched a little bit into that. And from my understanding is that everything's going to escalate up to about 2011, and then, you know, everything hits the fan, and then after that it's, you know, after that we have the golden age, or, you know, then we have contact with all the benevolent beings, and they're saying that things are going to heal and be rebuilt
mm-hmm.
just almost as fast as they were destroyed. It's going to be amazing.
I think what you just touched on is very important to bear in mind, and that is that I'm personally not focused on all the disasters that are happening or are going to happen. I think beyond that,
mm-hmm.
and Marshall Masters, he thinks beyond that, because it's, we're talking about survival, you know, not the end of the world, not the end of your personal world. We're talking about getting through a period of disruption,
mm-hmm.
and being on the other side to start a new dawn, so to speak.
Exactly. You know, and I tell people, you know, it's really worth sticking around for.
Yeah.
I mean, these are exciting times we're going into. Just drop the fear, see it as an adventure, you know, do what's necessary to get you through it, and it's going to be awesome on the other side.
You know, Marshall's been working on this research and writing for, best part of 10 or 12 years. Can I just mention his website?
Yes.
I've got no...
Mention your own website, too.
Oh, my own website.
Definitely, yeah, because you have the book there on your website as well as the movie. And
uh-huh. Okay, my website is BUY, as in buy, contacthasbegun.com.
Mm-hmm. And then he's got the book there, so they could actually just get the book there.
They could, yes. But I'd also just like to mention that mine's not the only place you can get information about these things from. And I'd love it when people come to my website, if they have an interest in Earth Changes, get onto the newsletter. And I'm just about to open a members forum that people can discuss all these subjects. But Marshall also has a website, and I'd like to mention that.
Mm-hmm.
It's YOWUSA, Yawusa, or YOWUSA.com.
Great. You know, what I think we could do, we're coming up to the last 15 minutes, and if there are callers, I wanted to open up the lines, and I can give the toll-free number. It's 877-876-5227. That's USA. And then it's 888-815-9756, and that's USA and Canada. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. So it's on the website as well if you want to go to bbs.com.
Could you give me that US number again, James?
What's that?
What's that US number again?
The US number is 877-876-5227. And they have another toll free. It's 888-815-9756.
Mm-hmm.
Direct line is 530-876-3222. So if people want to call in and ask any questions or even share something that, you know, any visions they've been seeing in the future.
Well, while we're waiting, can I just mention that I've had a couple of questions thrown at me.
Okay.
One is that, you know, does James have any messages from our brothers and sisters in the stars, the Pleiadians, Andromedans, Syrians, etc., in regards to Planet X and the Bureau or the Destroyer?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take this call. We've got a caller. Are you with us?
Yes. Hi, James.
Hi. Who are we speaking with?
This is Vince. How are you?
Welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's good to hear your voice. I've been visiting your websites and stuff and looking at your trailers for your DVD, and I'm really interested.
Great.
I was wondering what, are you familiar with David Sirita?
Yes, I am.
I caught a YouTube video the other day about the 2003 shuttle that he showed some photographs that were taken by an amateur of the 2003 shuttle being shot down, possibly by a UFO. I didn't know if you'd heard of this or...
I have heard of it, and I believe they were taking a military payload up on that one. And, you know, they've been warned over and over again, you're not supposed to be bringing weapons up into space. So, you know, I don't know what that program was. They might have been taking something up there that might have been very detrimental or nasty for the rest of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know the whole story on that. But,
well, could this possibly be coming from... I've heard that possibly the beings that live under Mount Shasta,
mm-hmm,
in that area are malevolent or not really the nice guys.
Yeah, I don't know who told you that. The ones under Shasta are beautiful beings. There's also at the poles, there's beings that live there, the inner earth people. They're extremely advanced beings, and they're very concerned about humanity and the earth and what we're doing on the surface, and especially the nuclear programs we have going. Those are upsetting them quite a bit, and they've been warning governments to stop with the nuclear,
mm-hmm,
stop with the war, start behaving yourself. You know, there are some low-level contacts going on and underground facilities. That's not one of them. You know, there are things that are going on with some of our deep black ops rogue elements, but that's not really my focus. I focus mainly on the more benevolent ones, and I try to not put my mind on that one because, you know, the old saying, the mind in which you seek is the mind in which you connect.
Mm-hmm.
I acknowledge
that
it's there, but I don't.
I totally agree with that, that way of thinking myself.
It can get really ugly. You can go really deep down that dark hole, and it gets uglier and uglier and uglier.
I know. I'm trying to evolve out of that area myself.
Did you have any other questions for Michael? Or?
I was just wondering if you ever heard of the Pleiadian mission and Randolph Winters.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever read that book or
yeah, I know Randy really well. He's been here a couple of times to the ranch,
mm-hmm.
and you know it's a wonderful message. One thing, not to cast any negative shadow on, we've had some real serious problems with Michael Horn, who's their representative, and you know he constantly bashes us and says there's no UFO activity here whatsoever, and there's no ship, there's no contact, nothing, and won't even look at the evidence or talk to any of the witnesses. And it's still going on, and it's just insane, but they actually mm-hmm. believe that he's the only contactee and the one true prophet of God on the planet. And it makes no sense whatsoever because, you know, thousands, if not more, people are being contacted right now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, prophecy is just a trade. It's a trade that opens up within each individual. Anybody can access that.
Mm-hmm.
And,
what do you believe that most of
the... If I was an ET looking at this planet of 6.5 billion people, I'd hold a big council meeting and I'd say, let's find one person amongst the 6.5 billion to spread our message.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense. Or one son, you know.
Yeah.
I'll just drop one of my sons off, and that should take care of everything.
You know, I was wondering what you can shed some light on this. You know, I've been visiting your website, and I've seen the pictures of the orbs and stuff.
Uh-huh.
This past Christmas, when I was celebrating the holidays with my family, first time ever, seeing some orbs in some of our pictures on Christmas Eve,
mm-hmm.
and it was when the children were opening up gifts and such.
Yeah,
and it's really kind of shocked me because, you know, I've seen a lot of pictures. We've used the digital cameras quite often, and this is the first time we've ever seen any orbs in the photos.
Yeah, now there's a movie on our website too. It's called Orbs: The Veil Is Lifting.
Mm-hmm.
And it talks all about the orbs, what they are, and why they're here now. And especially children that are in joy, or it's the divine feminine love are the best attractors for the orbs. And they're just beings that are coming in, and they're very attracted to the higher frequencies, especially the innocence of children and the love and the joy that they're emitting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a newsflash too, guys. I was talking to Dr. Michal Ledwith this week. Remember, he does a show on orbs. He's got a book out. It's called The Orb Project, and something about 800 photographs in that.
Uh-huh.
That's just out recently, and he's in the process of making a DVD in which he explains what orbs are.
Uh-huh.
And this is a man who's taken probably 100,000 photographs of orbs over recent years, made a wonderful study of them. So if you look out for that book and that DVD,
okay.
I'll be carrying them on my website in the near future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got his book. It's an amazing book.
I've visited your website also. I've really enjoyed it. I've done a little bit of research on the Planet X and seen some photographs of it as it looks from the southern hemisphere. Seems like what I'm finding out is we'll all be able to see it possibly around 2009.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have come across that.
You know, I have. And, you know, there's so much misinformation about this out there. It's just gotten crazy. Everything from everybody's going to die to nothing's going to happen. And so, you know, I think everybody has to really go within and see what it means to them and what they need to do and with this experience, because, you know, if you try to research this whole thing out, sometimes it's just such a wide spectrum of information and disinformation, just same thing with UFOs.
Yeah.
This is why I keep talking about the common sense approach, James.
Yes.
you know, if the weather forecast says it's going to rain, you'll get yourself a raincoat.
Mm-hmm.
If it says it's going to snow, you'll make sure that you're prepared for that.
Mm-hmm.
And if the forecast is there are going to be some very serious earth changes, some sea levels rising and taking out the lowlands around the world, wouldn't it be sensible, now that you know about that, to make a decision for yourself and your family without waiting for it to happen,
mm-hmm.
or without waiting for it to be confirmed by science or government or politicians?
Mm-hmm.
Which isn't really going to happen.
It's never going to happen.
No.
Right. It's not their job. It's not their job to do anything more than take your money.
I've got one more question, and I'll let you guys go.
All right.
It's about meditation. I'm just getting into being a higher spiritual human being, and I'm trying to educate myself and, you know, pick the right books and listen to the proper people and stuff. I'm trying to start, you know, a meditation daily thing. And, you know, this, how long, and do you guys, either one of you guys, have a good book that I could purchase, or how long does it take to get really good at being able to meditate, you know, and get into that deep, mm-hmm. deep state of meditation?
Well, it's much easier now because the veils are very thin between worlds. And so, you know, with me, it's like I've been meditating for so long. It's once you've traveled to a place, you know, the first time you go, you need a map. But after you've been there over and over, you don't need the map anymore. It's just a natural, you know, way of doing things. But I find that just if you just get yourself quiet, get out in nature, away from, you know, people, basically,
mm-hmm.
and just find a really quiet space. And in the book Reunion with Source that I've written, it has some incredible meditations in there. And it also has tools and techniques to clear any unseen negative influences, which is real important right now. But I always tell people it's very, very important first to learn how to clear any unseen negative energies. Then meditate, because you don't want to open up unless you have clear space.
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard that. That's new to me.
There's an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened. You
mm-hmm.
know? So you really want to
My experience has been, I started learning meditation back in New Zealand about 25 years ago. And I came from a pretty wild past life, so to speak. And it took me quite a while to get into that more spiritual area. But one resource that I'd suggest, and it's just a website, is www.rampha.com.
James, could you repeat that? Because I'm having a little bit of trouble hearing him.
www.RAMTHA.com.
Yeah,
okay.
If you just type in Rampha, R-A-M-T-H-A, and do a search,
okay,
it'll pop right up, Rampha.com.
Okay. For some reason, I can hear you better.
Yeah. It might just be in the setup here.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's R-A-M-T-H-A.com.
Okay, I've got it.
You hear me better now.
Yeah.
A little.
Can you hear me now?
Well, guys.
Good talking to you.
I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I appreciate all your help and all your insight, and I appreciate everything you've done, and may the Creator bless you guys immensely.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Back at you.
Thanks. Bye.
Well, we're running out of time here. Is there anything you want to leave our audience with? And definitely, before we go, give your website again.
www.bycontacthasbegun.com. That's B-U-Y. contacthasbegun.com.
Okay. And is there any parting messages you want to leave with the audience?
Well, I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Hey, when people do that to me on the radio, I just said, I don't know, tune in.
Well, I'm not that sort of a guy. I don't have all the answers for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I like to research questions that people come up with. You know, I had a number of questions here from people that I would have liked to have gotten into you with you this evening.
Yeah.
I'll do my best with these in my newsletter.
Okay.
I bring that out once a week.
Well, I'll see if I can answer them. Send me an email, and I'll do the best I can to answer them with a newsletter.
That'll be cool. Yeah, appreciate that.
And then we can, you know, send them out on your letter, and then I'll I'll send your newsletter out over my list as well.
All right. I'm also starting up a blog. That's one of those high-tech things on Earth Changes.
Mm-hmm.
And another, I think I mentioned the members forum. They go to my website. I think that'd be a place to look at some of the newsletters that I've put out in the past three or four months since we finished the DVD.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of information there for people from any part of the world about the various the ways in which coastlines are going to be affected by sea level rise. And remember, we talked about the dead zones in the oceans.
Oh, yeah.
A report this week from Turkey, 400,000 fish died in one of their coastal areas just overnight.
Uh-huh.
Because they ran out of oxygen.
Yeah, it's getting ugly out there. The Earth has to clean herself up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no way around it, and we're the perpetrators, and we got to clean up our act, if we're going to hang out here.
Well, I agree with you on that. I don't expect anybody to come along and pick me up and take me in a spaceship.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect any government agency to come and look after me, and I think that it's a time when we should take stock, look at our own responsibilities in our lives, and just say, okay, the weather's changing, let's do what we need to do to get through the storm.
Exactly, just a little common sense.
Yeah, because on the other side is really where we're going.
Exactly.
That's the good part.
Yeah. Well, we've run out of time, and I'll have to get you back on. I think I'll have you on as a regular if that's all right with you.
That would be fine with me.
And anything major events, feel free to give me a shout, and we'll see if we can bring them out on the...
Oh, and I just remembered, I appreciate your surprise suggestion that I come and talk at your next conference.
Yeah, that'll be awesome.
I'll have to practice up for that.
All righty. All right, well, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, signing off, and just remember, common sense is God sense. Good night.